Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office.
So,
thank you for joining us this morning.
We finished our series last week, and so I kind of don't know what to tell you today. but actually, I do. We're at that time of the year, as Lainey said, and where everything is getting ready to wrap up, and people are beginning to make their summer plans. So I just want to ask, does anybody have a plan for their summer? If you got a plan for your summer, let me see your hand. You got some big plans that you're going to do. Nobody has any plans for the summer. Okay, we got three people who have plans for the summer. The rest of you are haphazardly going through. Here's what I got to tell you. Good luck with that. Okay, you got some plans? All right, what are your plans? You're going swimming. Yeah, that's a great plan. I love that. I think that needs to be one of my plans. I know we're at the time of year where sometimes kids get spring fever. I know when this time of year came in school, I got spring fever. And I also notice this is the time of year where teachers get that glazed look on their face. You know what I'm talking about? They're looking forward to summertime. And I know that I've got a lot of projects that I want to accomplish, as well as sabbatical. I got some other projects I want to do. We got some projects here at the church that are going to be going on this summer. We still have some repairs to do on the annex sidewalks. We're going to be working on those, and we've got landscaping. The weather kind of turned on us, so we're going to be finishing the landscaping in front of the annex sidewalks. And I actually have a list that I left for Bob. Believe that, I have a list, Bob. Yeah, I don't think they're all going to get done, but we have a nice list. So if you have some time this summer and you'd like to come and volunteer, we got an awful lot of stuff that we want to get done. I know we're going to repurpose some Sunday school rooms, and we got some painting. And maybe you've got some projects at your house that you want to get done. Maybe some gardening. I know some folks are trying to plan. I got to tell you this, you got to plan your garden. You don't just walk in and just throw seeds everywhere. I know, I've tried it. It doesn't work well. You put some planning into that. Perhaps you have some home improvement projects and you've been waiting for the weather to change so that you can get that underway. All those things are great. And you know, and I know, that they need careful planning. Everybody say careful planning. And I want to challenge everybody today, right in the same vein as what Lainey shared. As we approach summertime, it's great to have projects. And here I want to give you a challenge, because I think that you should have some spiritual projects. I think that just like you have projects for your house, just like you have various things that you want to get done, some vacations, you don't just get in the car and just, I don't know, some people do. Maybe they just get in the car and they drive and see where the road takes them. That's kind of neat. But I know if you have kids and things like that, you probably need to plan where you're going and what you're doing. And if you want to get someplace, you have to have a goal. Lucius Ananias Seneca said that if a man knows not which port he sails, no wind is favorable. Okay. I kind of would rather turn to scripture. And so Proverbs 29:18 is going to be kind of our theme text today, as I kind of want to share some things. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. So what does this have to do with as we approach summer? I want to tell you this, it's important to have spiritual goals. It is important for you as you get ready to change the season, no matter what's going on in your life. I bet you have some goals. People who are getting ready to get some rest, I have some goals about a time of rest and retooling and a time of healing. I've got some goals. I have a vision set ahead. And according to that vision, a lot of times we just think about planning in all areas of our life except spiritual areas. And what I want to tell you today is that's foolishness. People need to have a spiritual goal. You need to have a vision, and a vision comes from the Lord. And so I want to talk to you about that today, just as we're together for a few moments. When we think about setting spiritual goals, though, it can be like so many other areas in our life. Sometimes we can look at the end game and where we want to be. Maybe you've got this mind, this mindset or this image in your mind of what your best spiritual self is. You know, getting up at 5 a.m. and studying the Bible for 2 hours and having another hour and a half of prayer and meeting every situation in your life with God's will and purpose intent. You can discern God's will in every situation. And so when life throws a hurdle at you, you are equipped. You don't lose it when things come and when you respond to temptation, you see the way out that God has promised for you. And sometimes you see that, you have that image in your mind, and then you have where you really are, and there might be a gap between those two. Anybody? How many of you are exactly where you know you should be with the Lord? No growth is needed. It's kind of like that guy who wants to run a 5K, but since he can't run a 5K today, He can't even make it one lap on the track. Instead of going out and taking a walk and doing something, he just sits back on the couch and streams a show and opens another bag of potato chips. Okay, we have to have a goal. And to reach that goal, I want you to know, how do we get there? And this is the key today. Small things make huge impact. Small things, small decisions, small choices lead to a huge impact. The armchair expert did an interview of Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, again, I've never been a Patriots fan or Tampa Bay fan or whatnot, but I mean, he was an amazing quarterback. No one can argue what an impressive quarterback he became. And he was a fifth round draft choice out of Michigan. And in this interview with Tom Brady, they said, how did you get to be this prolific quarterback? And he said, small things. Like, I started with one thing, just trying to hydrate more. I began to drink more water. And that's all I focused on for a little while, is drinking more water. And after a while, that became a habit. Everybody say habit. How many of you need some better spiritual habits? Come on, say amen. He said, I just drank more water. And then once that became a habit, then I switched to my diet and I started eating healthier. And then the water was a habit, and then the eating better became a habit. And then I focused on getting more sleep. He like goes to bed like at 8 o'clock. Yeah, I envy him. So, I mean, and so sleep and little things that add up over time make big impacts in your life. We think because we can't run that 5K today that we're not going to get out and take a lap. I want you to get out and take that lap. And as you take that lap, and you, it will magnify and multiply over time, and you will see significant changes in your life. It's, I was listening to a podcast that did this interesting analogy. It was compelling to me that if an airplane was to take off from Los Angeles and they're heading towards New York City and they made a one degree course change, that, again, that's not a huge turn. That's just a small turn. That by the time that they should have arrived at New York, they'd either be in Connecticut or New Jersey. 1 degree. In fact, it's a rule of 1 in 60. And if you, for every 60 miles, if you take a 1 degree course change after 60 miles, you'll be off course a full mile. The 1 in 60. In fact, this was demonstrated in a horrific way. In 1979, there was a passenger airplane that left New Zealand carrying 275 people on board, and it was a sightseeing flight to Antarctica. And they were going to fly, they were going to look at some different views in Antarctica, and they were going to come back home. And unknown to the pilots, however, there was a minor 2-degree error in their flight coordinates. And this placed the plane 28 miles to the east of where the pilots thought they were. And so as they descended out of the clouds to try to come down and be able to have some great views, it placed them directly in the path of Mount Erebus, which was the active volcano on the continent of Antarctica, which raises 12,000 feet in the air. As the plane came from the clouds, they struck the side of the volcano and it killed everyone on board. That was done tragically by one minor mistake, one error, one small change over time can make a huge difference. So here's my question. Here's my big point. I only really got like one point for you here today. What is your small decision that God wants you to make this summer? What is the one small choice that you can make that will have a tremendous impact? Now, I got to be honest. There's been something it's been in my spirit for probably the past 6 months. I've shared it several times at youth group. It's come out a couple times in sermons. I've just been intrigued by this small habit that comes from our Christian heritage, our Judeo-Christian heritage. It is something that happened in Jewish families, even before the time of Christ. It's something called the Shema. It's a Jewish prayer. And the Shema is said at two times a day, in the morning and night. And it's something that parents say with their children. They teach their children. And it's a very simple prayer, but they begin their day with this prayer and they end their day. They wrap their bookend, their day, in this simple, simple prayer that comes from, that has its foundation in the book of Deuteronomy. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, we're actually going to focus on verse 4 and 5 here for this beginning. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's the essence of the prayer. It goes on a little bit, and there's different iterations in different Jewish cultures that add a few other verses from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus. But the essence, one from Numbers 15, but the essence is basically here in Deuteronomy 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Now, I want you to know that this is actually much deeper than you think. Again, this was taught from children and families, prayed this two times a day. And I want to dive into that this morning as we consider some small changes that we can incorporate into our lives that will make large difference, and specifically spiritual practices. And some of these are found in this simple prayer. And we're going to see how Jesus, in the end of our discussion, how Jesus actually referenced this in a powerful way. So the prayer begins. We call it the Shema because that is the Hebrew word that begins this prayer. What's the first word here in Deuteronomy 6 in verse 4? Hear. 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 So this word hear means listen. Listen. The word hear means listen, but that's deeper than you think. So he's saying, hear, O Israel. And we read right through it. Isn't that seem like an odd way to start it? We think it should be Israel, the Lord is one. But that's not how it starts. It starts with listen. You know, when I get in a crowd, sometimes I need to get people's attention. I have this bad habit of I whistle sometimes. It drives some of my family members crazy because they're like, we're not dogs. Don't whistle for us. And yet I've got this particular whistle that I do that sometimes gets their attention. And so this very beginning, hey, listen. But let's much deeper than that. This word listen means to make attentive to. So if we're going to begin our day, think about this. Beginning our day being attentive to the Lord. That's how you start your day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Imagine starting your day with listening to the voice of the Lord, a reminder that in all the voices that are around us, that we need to hear, that we need to listen to God. A few weeks ago, I did make this challenge that consider the first voice that you turn to in the morning. As many people, and studies are really scary, that the first thing the majority of people in the United States do, the very first thing they do in the morning is they look at their phone. Young people, the first thing they do, a lot of them will look, the very first thing is look to either social media or their news headlines. As if something happened in the 10 hours since you went to bed, that the earth is shaking now. I said 10 hours and waiting to see if anybody rolled their eyes. Yeah, 5 hours sometimes. Another thing that we need to understand, just focus on the voice of God. The Hebrew concept for this word Shema is different than what we think here in English. Because in English, we have a different word for hear and for obey. And there's no different word in Hebrew. There's no separate word for hearing and for obeying. So when they say, hear, O Israel, they're not just saying, listen to the sound waves. They're not just saying that there's a voice and you need to hear it. They're saying it's not just hearing, but it's obeying. Listen and obey. Start your day with a pledge of obedience to the Lord. Because there's a lot of other things that I would argue are contending for your allegiance. Political things? Man, goodness gracious, we live in this incredibly polarized society today and everyone is warring for your allegiance. And so imagine to start the day plugged in and downloading God's instructions for you each day. And I know some of you, wow, this is really, really very basic. You're right. It is very basic. And I would challenge that I don't think we're doing a really great job of it. I think that we can do better. I think a small change at the beginning, and maybe going back into some of our Judeo-Christian heritage, and I'm not prescribing that we go back into Judaism, not in any way, shape, or form, but the principles and practice therein have tremendous amounts of wisdom. Focus your day listening, hearing, heeding. Everybody say heed. Take heed to the counsel of God to begin our day. Imagine how that would be. Because I believe that we're kind of living like the prophet Amos described in Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water. And here we find that word again, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Again, it's not a famine. It's not that the words aren't there. It's that there is not a heeding. There's not a hearing of the words of the Lord. And that's something important. Gang, we have to understand this. We have to understand it. If we go on here, the next part of the Shema. Hear, O Israel. So we have to heed, we have to understand, we have to listen. We have to acknowledge the Lord. It says, the Lord is one. What an odd type of phrase. Hear, O Israel. Okay, listen, O Israel, we got this. Tune in, listen and obey, Israel, to the Lord. And this is the Lord is one. Kind of a perplexing little statement. And it can be rendered in probably about three different ways, which are all very similarly related. And the first one is this, that there is one true God, that Jehovah is the one true God. Now, why is that important? Because it's in contrast to a polytheistic culture that was all around them. And I would argue today that there are many gods. Some of you are like, oh, no. There aren't many gods in our culture today. Oh, yeah? Well, how about this? Let's change the word so we can swallow it a little better. How about idols? Do you think there's a lot of idols in our society today? What's one of the most popular shows in the United States? American? And again, I'm not dissing on the show or anything like that. I'm just saying it is all around us. We worship the cult of personality. We see figures. Goodness gracious. People's following is so important. We have idols all around us. And so in contrast with this polytheistic idea around us, gang, we are to understand that there is one God, the creator of heaven and earth, and we worship the one true God. Now, if God is the only God, then we are to pledge our obedience to him alone. Now, that's a lot deeper than you think. Because there's a lot of things in our culture and our society today that are saying that you have to prioritize. Everybody say prioritize. It's not a problem with God. It's a problem with our priorities. Amen? And that's an ouch and amen. And I don't mean to be like this grouchy guy saying I'm just going to, throw shame on everybody. I get it. It's hard to live in our culture and society today because everything says you have to prioritize other things above God, to which this is a pretty wonderful advice to saying, if God is God, he needs to be our priority. I mean, the basis of the Ten Commandments are set in that we shouldn't have idols, that we shouldn't have graven images, that there is only one God. This is a pretty important thing. But there's also another way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And by the way, if you don't think that there is still polytheism today, you probably haven't had you know, people knock on your door. I mean, it's very real. There are folks literally in Pittsfield who come in Pittsfield who are really wonderful and they're good natured and they have a really, really wonderful heart. But the bottom of the line is it is still alive and well today, this concept that there are many gods. And if you live your life as good enough as you can be, you'll become a god. That is a polytheistic understanding that stands in contrast to God's word. All right? Enough said. Begin each day with this pledge and this priority. We affirm our identity as His special people. And that is a wonderful thing. We sang that this morning. Oh, how we love you. So we are adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. And because He is the one true God, and in contrast to the culture around us, and He is worthy of our alliance and our obedience and our allegiance, we then should forsake any other gods, that we should forsake any other idols. Imagine beginning our day with that thought. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Are you on board with me so far? Now here's the good stuff. Here's the good stuff. The next part is, let's all read this together. If you click it, Matt. Ready? Let's all read this together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Gang, here's the cool part. Because God is God, because God is God alone, this is an invitation that our response is to enter a relationship of love with Him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Notice He didn't say, you know, we're supposed to fear, we're supposed to fall down. And yes, fear and reverence. There is this concept of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which basically means that we are in awe of His holiness and His might and His power, and attached with that awe is a healthy respect, that we should have respect for authority, right? And that God is the ultimate authority, so we should have this, but it is a loving, everybody say loving. You are invited to a response in relationship to God of love. He's not a grouchy old man sitting on the sidewalk saying, stop that. And that's the problem, that sometimes churches have conveyed God in that way, that God is a cosmic killjoy. He's looking to just wreck your life and cause you to conform because He's angry and because He's on some rush of power. God is very, very secure in His identity. Okay? He's not having an identity crisis. Okay? He's not on a power trip. He does not need us to give Him anything, and yet He created us. Why? For relationship with Him. So why should we obey God? Why should we obey God? And here's why we should obey Him. Not because He's angry, because it keeps us in the pocket for the best relationship that we can have with Him. And that does not mean that our lives are exempt from struggle in this fallen world to which we live, because sickness and death and struggle are a result of the fall. But it means that we can have fellowship with Him through those journeys. Luke 6:46 says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" This is Jesus responding to a question. He says, look, why do you call me Lord? Why do you say that I'm your Lord? Why do you say that I'm your highest priority and you don't follow what I say? And so another reason why we obey is because we love Him. If you love somebody, you're going to do what they want as an expression of love. So I want to challenge you, First Christian Church, I want to challenge you, dear viewers who are streaming with us online today. Your obedience doesn't try to merit God's favor. Your obedience to God is twofold: to keep you in the pocket, to have the best relationship that you can have with Him, and because you want to express your love for Him. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's not because he's saying, here's the to-do list. I'm leaving, and I want you to wash the dishes and walk the dog, and I want you to fold the clothes and put them away. No, no, no. This is not that to-do list. This is this. I want to give you the prescription for the best relationship that we can have. And here's how you can have it. Love me. And Jesus came to give us the awesome conclusion to this, because it's the blood of Jesus alone that reconciles us. Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31, as we complete our message here today. I cannot pass off Jesus' response as some experts in the law came to test him. And they said, which is the greatest commandment? And here's what Jesus said in response. The most important is, and hear how he's referencing the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Imagine that. The most important commandment is to listen to the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Hear, there's only one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he tags on. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You see how Jesus even summed this up and saying, I can sum up the law and prophets in two things. Love God and love your neighbor. Because if you love, have you ever thought about this? If you love God, you're not going to be a jerk. Hello? If you love God, okay, it's like this. So I used to have a friend who had a dog that they loved, and I couldn't stand this animal. Bad preacher, bad. You ever had a dog that just drove you crazy? You ever have a neighbor's dog drove you crazy, or a friend's dog? Yeah. Anyway, this one particular animal, I did not get along with. It always would bite me. It was always mean to me. It's not that I'm lovable. I don't know what this animal's problem was. But it's like the dog was a really good judge of character or something. Because this dog was annoying, and I was like, oh, please. But because this person loved this animal, because I loved this person, I had to kind of love what they did. I've heard people who are getting married who are like, I was never a cat person, and my wife was a cat person, and now I'm a cat person. Pray for them. Here's the point, and probably a bad example. You love the things that whom you love loves. Okay, we see this as a beautiful thing as families sometimes blend together. I tell you, it's a powerful thing. And so if God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, shouldn't we love one another? Absolutely. But only the Christians. We're supposed to hate everybody else, right? No, that's not what Jesus said. That's not the teaching of God. In fact, Jesus came to fulfill the entire Old Testament. It's not just love those who love you. No, it's love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Gang, loving God, loving our neighbor. So I just wanted to just bring this up with the concept of this. I'm not trying to take us back into some creedal thing. I'm not trying to prescribe, you know, a particular ritual that we do. I'm simply saying this. Would you please, I've got one more week with you. Would you please take the next 14 days and ask God this question? What small steps can I take this summer for you? What are the spiritual steps that you would have me to take? And I would say to that, incorporate the principles, not the words, the principles of understanding and obeying God's word, God's voice, to know that he is preeminent, that his place is above all else, that he is the one true God, that we are invited a relationship to love him and to love others. Everybody, just for a second, close your eyes. And I just want to pray for you today. And those people who are streaming online, if you just take a second, I just want everybody to pause, to Shema, to listen. Father in heaven, Thank you for your love for us. God, I love this church. I love being part of the church family, and I know you love this church. And God, I even love the people who are streaming on today. Lord, how whatever situation's going on in their life, I ask you, Father, that we would be attentive to the whisper of your Spirit now. And I pray that you would give the counsel of us what small steps each one of us. You're such an awesome God that you know every single person in this room, the young, the old, the middle-aged, every single one of us, you know. I pray right now that you would speak through your Spirit what small steps that you would beckon us, that you would invite us to take as we journey through this summer, that we could grow closer to you. Lord, we just give you room to whisper in our ears right now, to speak in our hearts and our mind's voice. God, I pray that we would hear right now. For some, that means taking just a moment to steal away and just listen. For some, that means eliminating distractions. For some, that means getting a more structured Bible reading plan. For some, that means just inviting you, going on a brief walk each morning. Draw us closer to you. And God, we claim that promise in your word that when we draw near to you, that you're going to draw near to us. Bless your children, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's children say,
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.